Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View From Here. There are days when I never want to see another one of them, these cool, rainy mornings. Then there are days, like today, when I can't imagine a finer setting. These are days of visual detail without the stark shadows hiding the finer points. These are the days that invite a downward glance to study soil and stumps. These are the days when the hissing brush burn seems nostalgic. Yesterday it danced mad hot. This morning the embers spit and steam and fade away. The misty, wet morning has the quiet power to douse the fire, to cool this land. I had a painter friend who lived for these days, this light. His whole palette was one gray or another, warm grays and cool grays and black grays and white grays. He did not use a color without gray in it. Deep grays in the folds of overcoats and pinked grays, rouging frosty cheeks. I don't recall that he ever painted the sun, actually, but I imagine that if he did, it would have been a crimsonish thing, a cool sun, a sun where it was raining. Were he a trumpeter, he would have played through a mute, always. All of this notwithstanding, he was one of the cheeriest people I ever met. I think he just saw the world in gray. I think, in the course of human history, that gray has gotten a less than fair shake from the world, something of a bad rap, if you will. Gray has come down to us as undecided and weak. The gray area, in an ethical decision, is the murky depths that confuse and worry us. The gray area, in a statistical analysis, is the part that the presenter is still not sure of. Gray is seen as being neither black nor white. Now, I prefer to think that gray is both black and white, and because of that, it has power. Gray is the great modifier, the toner for light and color. Gray is the reason that the world does not look like a Sherwin-Williams color chart. I used to spend a lot of time in front of people. My work put me in the position of helping organizations to handle all sorts of problems. I helped them to think creatively, to look for a lot of answers in some pretty unusual places. The workshops required the complete focus of the people in attendance. They needed to pay attention to what I was saying. The words were important. I discovered early on that dressing in shades of gray was a great help. Rather than paying attention to me, how I looked, what I was wearing, they spent their energy on the message I wanted to convey. Gray made the words stand out. Gray makes everything stand out. There's a breeze moving the spruce just now. Their whisper seems better in gray, more a sigh and less a howl. As the limbs part, they reveal the straight, black, wet trunks of these giants. These are the massive beings that have withstood drought and flood alike. They stand in two rows, heading off to the prairie. Our place is unimaginable without them. On these gray mornings, the space between them is deeper. It stretches out and up and pools across the ground. I can taste the air in there. I am convinced that these gray mornings dramatically affect the sounds that surround us. I suppose it's the moisture in the air that does it. Sounds carry better. I can hear the rustle of fallen leaves being stirred by a squirrel 50 yards away. The sapsucker's tapping is sharper, and the nuthatch's mad calls even more comical. Just now, there's a cardinal starting his warm-ups, piping a few notes in preparation for the sonorous onslaught that will follow soon. Those isolated notes are magic, like a loon on the water. Those notes should be played in gray. The gray morning heightens all my senses, forcing me to walk more slowly. If I walk too fast, I'll miss something, and probably a lot of somethings. Since there is more to see, hear, and smell in the gray light, going slower really is better. I've always felt that rushing through a great meal is something of a sin. I have come to think that hurrying through a gray morning is a similar transgression. Why cheat ourselves by stomping through it? We miss so much, and that's never right, is it?